Okay. So yeah, I would like to start off the sermon today with an analogy or a metaphor. Okay, I'm not very good at English, so I don't know which one it is. So I would like you to imagine that I've built a brick house. Okay, it's finished. I'm outside. Maybe I just washed my hands off. Okay, and I'm looking at it. I'm just admiring my work. I put time in it. I put money, labor, blood, sweat, and tears. You know, there's been emotional highs, like, you know, maybe the walls are complete. There's been lows. Maybe the roof caved in once. Okay, all these different things. But when I'm done, I step back and I say, this is a great house. Okay, there's only one problem with that. I don't know anything about building a house. Okay, I don't know how to lay bricks. I don't know how to frame it. I don't know how to do plumbing. Okay, and so pretty much I just gave it my best effort and hoped it was good enough. Okay, it kept the rain out, kept the wind out. All right. And so when I say this is a great house, it doesn't mean anything. It's just a rookie that put some stuff together and hoped that it kept water out. Okay, it holds no weight. All right. Now let's say that there's a stonemason who comes up to me, and he's been laying bricks for 30 years. And he comes along and he walks around the house and walks in the house, and then he comes over to me and he pats me on the shoulder and he basically says, "This is a great house." Okay. Now that would just send me to the moon. Okay. That would just, first of all, he's lying. Second of all, okay. But see, his statement holds so much more weight than mine did, right? Because he was like an expert in that field, and maybe even this would be somebody I looked up to, okay, or tried to imitate or emulate, okay. And so his high praise is, of what I've done is so much valuable, much more valuable to me than even what I say to myself, okay. Now this analogy is what actually is supposed to happen between a father and a son, okay, a mother and a daughter. All right, this is actually what's supposed to happen. And so at some point in their lives, we as parents have to assess the house, quote unquote, that our kids have built, the lives that they've built, and simply say, wow, great work, you're an adult. Okay? We have this thing now they call adulting, okay? And that's basically code for anything that's hard that I don't want to do because I want to still be a kid. All right? That's what that translates as. And so it may sound weird. You're an adult now is just such a simple statement. And it seems like even it's so simple it doesn't need to be said. Okay? But the value and weight of that comes from a parent is so much more valuable than what even I would tell myself. I would want my parents to tell me that. It's much more valuable than what I tell myself. It's basically building a house as best that I can and hope it's good enough. Okay? But when my parents tell me that, it's important because they've been the most consistent adult in my life, okay? So when that adult tells me I am one, then it holds more value, okay? And hopefully that's true for you guys. So hearing those words are crucial to launching a child, okay? We talk about failure to launch, okay? And as a church and as a culture, actually, we ain't doing it, okay? We're not doing that. You see, masculinity and even femininity and femininity and adulthood are peculiar in our culture, but in other cultures, it's like the central theme in the culture. Okay, even as Jewish people, they have bar and bat mitzvahs when they're 13. Okay, and that's a very crucial time in the time of the child because they will start going to work with their father to learn a trade. Hanging out with their mother more and learning those things. The Spanish have quinceañeras, and that's the party that kind of sends you into adulthood, okay? And actually, I looked up even some more peculiar ones, actually. There's some tribes in the Amazon that find bullet ants, and they sedate them. And when they're sedated, they weave them into a glove. And for that boy to become a man in their culture, he must stick his hand in that glove. Keep it in there for a certain amount of time, okay? Anybody want that in our culture? Nobody? Okay. In Ethiopia, there's a tradition where they have to jump over a cow. If they want to get married, you got to jump a cow, okay? Don't ask me. All right? But if you really think about it, in Christian culture and in American culture, there really isn't anything like that, okay? So even now, I can actually even say that there's actually a little bit, maybe even confusion about that, all right? So we're just going to have a little crowd participation here, okay? And the question is, how many of you would consider your kid an adult when, okay? So raise your hand if you would consider your child an adult when they're 16. No one. But we give them the right to drive a thousands of pounds vehicle at 60 or 70 miles an hour down the road. But they're not adults. Just think about that, okay? Moving on. What about 18? Are kids adults when they're 18? Okay, some of you, maybe some of you, okay. What about 21? 21. Okay, some of you. Maybe it has nothing to do with age. Maybe it's when they're married. Is it when they're married they're an adult? Maybe when they have their first child? Maybe in their second child? Like, no, 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 you're not really, no, no. Just you wait, okay? And once again, maybe it's when they live on their own. Is it when they live on their own? Is that when they're adults? Sometimes even when kids are living on their own, they're kind of using parents' money. Okay, so maybe it's when they're paying their own bills. Maybe they've cut off financially, okay? So as you can see, when hands kind of went up, there's kind of some confusion about this. Is it based on age? Is it based on career? Is it based on, you know, what's it based on? And the problem with some of these is that sometimes it tells our children, you must earn the right to be an adult, okay? You must earn it. And that's an interesting concept when we look at Scripture. And I want to look at a specific Scripture today, which is in Mark 1, okay? Mark 1, 9 through 13. It's just talking about John the Baptist, and then it proceeds into, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, and in you I am well pleased." Immediately the Spirit impelled him to go into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, I think this is so interesting, okay? Jesus started his ministry when he was 30, okay? Not 21, not 18, not 13, 30, okay? That's kind of interesting. At that point, he probably would have been a pretty, maybe not successful, but in terms of accomplished. He would have been an accomplished carpenter, right? He would have known the trade, done the trade for quite a while, 17 years. He would have been learning the trade, doing the trade next to his father. Some people think Joseph died. They just don't know when he died. So who knows when that happened. But Jesus probably had some sort of ceremony when he was 13. It's just different than what we think of today. I did some research on that. Bar mitzvahs have changed over the years. But this instance is a bar mitzvah from his heavenly father. Okay? And this is Jesus' big moment. This is his initiation into the ministry that his father had intended for his whole life, okay? From this point on, his life moves forwards, okay? Questions, though. What miracles had he done? How many people had he healed? How many people had he raised from the dead? Did he cleanse the temple yet? Nothing. He hadn't done any of that, okay? Now, he had lived sinless up to that point, okay, which is a big deal. But he hadn't really done anything in terms of his ministry to earn what his father said about him. Okay, that's very interesting. So what we talked about before, where kids have to earn the right to be an adult, I don't know if that's true. Okay? So what was it that God was praising in that instance? And I believe it was his person. It's who he was, not what he did or had done. It was his person, his identity. Okay? You are my son, whom I love. That's who you are, all right? So it spoke right to his identity. Now, if Jesus needed to hear these words from his father, how much more do we need to hear them? How much more do we need to tell them, okay? It's very important. So we have to speak right into the person of our children to announce to them their adulthood. And it may seem weird that we have to do that, but we do. It's very important. So I read a book. I'm always reading a book. But this book is called Wild at Heart. And it's talking about this phenomenon in here. And I just want to read a little excerpt from it. I'm going to read you this whole book. I'm just kidding. In order to understand how a man receives this from his father, we have to understand that masculinity is bestowed. Okay? A boy learns who he is and what he's got from a man or the company of men. He cannot learn it in any other place. He cannot learn it from other boys, and he can't learn it from the world of women. The plan from the beginning of time was that his father would lay the foundation for a young boy's heart and pass on to him that essential knowledge and confidence in his strength. Dad would be the first man in his life and forever the most important man. Above all, he would answer the question for his son and give him his name. Throughout the history of man given to us in Scripture, it is the Father who gives the blessing and thereby names the Son. Okay? So it's talking about even identity. You see, even when in a lot of cultures, and especially in biblical times, we can actually even think about how John the Baptist got his name. They were just going to name him after his father, but his father said, no, his name is John, and his name became John. And we can think about that, and you see, in that sense, masculinity, femininity, and adulthood are interesting in the sense that they're bestowed. Okay, that's probably the perfect word to use that. Passed on from older to younger. And even verses point to that in the Bible, such as Deuteronomy 6, and we can go there quickly. I just wanted to read that. I know you guys have heard this verse. Okay, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You should write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates." And so what that's saying is, okay, what that's saying is that American Christian culture, if you're just going to church on Sunday and that's all you're doing, okay, that's wrong. Jesus is supposed to be in everything. You're supposed to be thinking about him, talking about him as you wake up, as you lay down, as you're eating a meal, as you're walking by the road, okay? And it needs to be simple little things like that. And just to make it, really, the point of doing that is to make it normal, to make it totally normal in your life. Jesus, normal in your life. And so, basically, the way that this bestowing needs to be done, which this book talks about, is it needs to be done through ceremony and ritual and rites. And authors have written about this. This author has, but also Mark Gregson is another one. He's considered a parenting expert. But starting from 12, the children begin the journey to becoming an adult. And that may have surprised you. Okay, 12? Are you serious? And the thing about it is that when children are 12, they're given incremental responsibilities. Okay, and incremental trust with things. All right, so even we can think about nowadays. I mean, do you just buy your 17-year-old an iPhone with unlimited access to the internet, okay, and then just give it to him? All right, should you do that? Maybe you did do that, but maybe you regret it, okay? I would say no. I would say that's not true. I think a much better way to do that, instead of thrusting them into that world, you should incrementally let them drift in that world, if that makes sense. And that's what this is talking about. And this actually becomes a big deal on their birthdays, okay? So yeah, drifting into adulthood rather than just be thrust into it and sink or swim, okay? Now you may be thinking to yourself, well, 12 was kind of an early age and I didn't realize that. What if I haven't done that? What if I haven't started that? Well, the great thing is it's never too late. It's never too late to start that work, to start those things. And it actually might be cool. So the rituals and ceremonies that you decide for your child to initiate them into adulthood, you can talk with your child about what they want that to be or what they want that to look like. But most importantly out of all that, the most important thing they need to hear are the words, okay? You are an adult, okay? That's a simple statement, but it's really helpful. And that helps them to understand their identity in the world and even in Christ. And so personally, my goal is when my sons become that age of 12 or 13, I want to take them out on some sort of trip, just he and I, and just say like, hey, this is the beginning of you becoming a man, basically. And so that may look like a hiking trip for one of my sons. It may look like I don't know, a NASCAR race for the other one. I don't know what it's going to look like, okay? But whatever it looks like for them, that they're going to point back to that and say, am I a man? Well, wait, Dad took me on this trip, and like he was talking a lot about that, and so they can point back to it. I did look up a statistic on this. This is crazy. Ages 18 to 31. You guys, I'm 31, okay? That's crazy. I'm married. I have 3 kids. Like, it's just crazy, okay? 18 to 31, 36% of those people are living at home, okay? That's over a third. So if you just lined up a bunch of people, let's say you have 3 people, pick one of them, almost guaranteed that they live at home. That's crazy. And that was in 2017. Who knows what, if it's worse, it's probably worse now. And the thing about it is, this is Christians, this is non-Christians, this is worldwide, okay? And so I think what we need to do as a church is we need to be leaders in this, okay? We need to be leaders in this and launching our kids into adulthood well. And so you may think to yourself, well, what are some practical ways we can do this? And I think I have several steps here that I think you can take, or several suggestions, but take some time to write down and decide the goals for your family. And I don't mean like save $10,000. I don't mean like buy a new car, okay? I mean like character traits, okay? So when my wife and I actually adopted our 3 kids, we thought of one thing to like initiate them into the family. And so what I did, this sounds crazy, but what I did was I took a sword, okay? And I knighted them into our family. All right? And so they remember that, and they can think about that. Am I a slifer? Oh, yeah. Dad knighted. That was a weird sword. That was weird. But it happened, right? And so in that knighting process, I gave each one of my kids a nickname, okay? So Taylin, which is my daughter, is the joyful, okay? And Owen, he's the thoughtful. He's always looking out for his brothers and sisters. He's always thinking of others. He's the thoughtful. And then my youngest child is the resolve, because if he's going to do it, he's going to do it, okay? And if he's not going to do it, you ain't going to convince him. He's resolved, okay? And so that's their nickname. So think about that in your family. Think about that, what that looks like in your family. And you know, it's kind of funny, but you also have to model those for them to, you know, catch those, for them to become those. I specifically remember a time in my family when I yelled at the kids, stop yelling. And then I was like, what am I doing? Okay? So you have to model these things. If you want your daughter to be joyful, then you need to be joyful. If you want your son to be thoughtful, and so on and so forth. Okay? So I think also something you need to think about in that way is, what is the rite of passage for our kids to become adults? And maybe even let them add to the discussion to decide that. Like, you know, well, mom and dad, you know, 21, you say I'm an adult, but I'm going to be living in college, and I'm going to need help, and you know, I'll have a job, but, like, I'll still need help financially. So I don't really feel like an adult when I'm 21. It's like, oh, well, we would have considered you an adult when you were 21. So, hey, let's adjust our expectations here. Okay? And so, yeah, I think that having a discussion about that and helping them decide is a great way of seeing that. I think this is a huge one. Instead of viewing your kids as with you forever, okay, they actually might do that. So don't do it that way, okay? One day, all right, maybe just change your view a little bit on that. It's like, hey, you know, this is how it is now, but one day things will change, right? We'll still be a family. You'll still be my son, you know. My little boy, you know, that's always the phrase. But in a real sense, okay, this is the way it is now, but it will be different later. But it'll be good. It'll still be good, okay? And yeah, I think that I just alluded to it, but envisioning what you fear most about the parenting, and you can, I know me, I can parent from fear, or I can parent from faith, right? And a lot of things that I try to tell my kids is mostly fear, right? Don't do this, don't do that, watch out, be careful, okay? Instead of through faith. And so, yeah, instead of, you know, when you call your son at college and you say, how's my little boy doing? Okay, no, okay? So changing that language on that and envisioning them differently is super important. Okay? If this is a huge one. If children have something to learn, be sure that you have at least given a lesson on that. Okay? And maybe even like review it often. And I'm talking about hard topics. Okay? I'm talking about like gender, media usage, drugs and alcohol, parenting. Maybe, you know, this is something that hasn't happened in my family yet, but boy, it needs to. It's like, hey, what did we do well as parenting? And we're sorry about the things we didn't do well. Okay? That's hard. That's really hard. You're supposed to apologize to your kids? I had no idea. Okay? Maybe you even teach your kids how to apologize and mean it. Okay? That's hard. That's difficult to do. And you need to do that. And I think the last step that you can talk about here is praying and asking Jesus to enter into these situations to redeem them. Okay? Maybe some of you can think about mistakes you've made with your kids. Or maybe some of you can think about maybe mistakes that your parents made with you. Okay? But Jesus is powerful enough and good enough to enter into those situations and redeem them. Okay? So I just want to take 30 seconds, a minute here. I want everybody to close their eyes and maybe just think to themselves of how they can let Jesus come into these relationships. Is it the relationship with your parent? Is it the relationship with your son or daughter? And how he can redeem that. God, we just have relationships on our mind right now, Lord, that have been rough, that need redemption, that need your presence. We pray that now, Lord, that these relationships that need to be repaired and need to be put in a higher regard, Lord, that you would come into them and do a good work, a restoring work, a redeeming work, just as you did on the cross. Thank you that you came to die for these sins that we've made in these relationships, Lord. And we just pray that we can trust that if our trust is in you, that we are redeemed, that we will see you in heaven, and that we'll be glad when you come back to earth, Lord. Help us in parenting and help us in our relationships with our kids and our parents, Lord. And I just pray that today and in this church that you would show us how to launch children into adulthood and minister to them and mentor them, Lord. Even if they're not our kids, Lord, that's especially a good way to mentor people and to mentor kids that need your love and need your presence. We pray all this in your name this morning.